to the official podcast for St. Philip's Episcopal Church in Rochester, Michigan. You can learn more about our church at our website, stpfeeds.org. Our Sunday services are at 8 and 10 a.m., and all are welcome. This podcast is the sermon for Sunday, December 1st, 2019, the first Sunday in Advent, by Eric Williams.
I don't know if you remember those children's books. I remember when I was growing up, one of my favorite types of books were the Choose Your Own Adventure books. You know, you'd be reading along in the story, and then you could choose which outcome you wanted, and you would turn to the page where your journey would take you. So you could read that book a couple of times and end up with a different adventure each time. Do you remember those books? Well, I think about that when we read these stories about the end times, about God's full consummation of the reign of God, the end of the world. We always get these stories around this time of year on the very first Sunday of the church year. Happy New Year, by the way. The first Sunday of Advent is the beginning of our church year, and we always start with the end. Reminds me of another book, a very popular self-help or business book, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. I don't know if you remember that, by Stephen Covey. Excellent book. I've gone to it so many times for wisdom. The second habit of the seven is to begin with the end in mind. If you want to accomplish something, if you want to be effective in your life, you just usually drift around. But if you have an end in mind, a goal, and you work steadily toward that goal, you will come out further ahead. He said most people kind of flounder around, and it's like pushing with all your might on a rope. It doesn't get you very far. But if you begin with the end in mind, then you make progress. So I think it's very fitting that we begin our church year in Advent with the end in mind. And what is the end? What is it that we're looking for? A lot of Christians get very obsessed about this, about the end times, about apocalyptic stuff. There's a guy, actually he lives in Troy. I used to watch him for entertainment value on late night TV. Jack Van Impe. Do you remember Jack Van Impe and his wife Rexella? She had the best hair. I was kind of mesmerized by her hair. But they would go through, for about 30 years, they've been going through the newspaper and the TV news and showing how every event that's happening fulfills the prophecies of the end times in the Bible. So they've been really trying to scare people into living a good life for all these years. And I was really amazed when I came to Michigan and I was talking to one of Susan's parishioners, because I just saw him as like a TV guy. And one of Susan's parishioners said, "Oh, yeah, him. I walk with him every morning at the mall." He lives right locally. There are a lot of Christians who have written a ton of books. I don't know if you remember the Left Behind series of books. Left Behind series took this passage from Matthew about one is taken and one is left behind. That's where the left behind thing came. And they stitched it together with prophecies from the book of Daniel, from the book of Revelation, and from 1 Thessalonians, and they came up with a very elaborate theology about the end times. And it talks about things, perhaps you've heard about this, things like the tribulation and the rapture, when those who are elect are caught up in the air. So there's the rapture, then there's a time of tribulation, which talks about these wars and rumors of wars and all this stuff, and then there's the coming of Christ and the thousand-year reign, and then all the imagery from Revelation about the dragon and all this stuff. If you go to most churches, the most popular Bible study is always the book of Revelation, because our imaginations are caught up in this. It somehow grabs us in a way, and we can become, I think, overly focused on how and when God is going to bring about the end of the world. There was a Korean pastor around the year 2000 who had mapped out from his reading of Scripture the exact date when Christ was coming. And he encouraged his congregation of about 1,000 people to all sell all their possessions and to meet him on top of a mountain and to wait for the coming of Christ. And I gotta say, I really hope they are not still up on that mountain 19 years later. I hope they came back down and started over. I don't mean to make light of this. These are powerful scriptures that tell us about God's plan for the end of time, but they are confusing, and I think they can lead us astray. Jesus says in the gospel today, about that day and hour, no one knows. If we get too obsessed with thinking about when and how it's going to happen, we actually prevent ourselves from living in the way that God intends for us to live. Instead, I want to go back to Stephen Covey, begin with the end in mind. When we look at all these scriptures about God's coming reign, we can find that there are certain things in common that they all share. One is unity. When God's day, when God's reign comes in its fullness, all humanity will be united. That's a beautiful image from our Old Testament scripture today of all the nations of the world coming to Jerusalem to be instructed by God, to have peace and unity. Our psalm today was our pilgrim psalm from our recent pilgrimage. I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Now our feet are standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. In God's coming reign, there is peace. Finally, an end to all wars and conflict and strife. When God's plan is fully realized, we have unity and we have peace. And the third thing is justice. We are finally in a right relationship with God, with one another, and with the earth itself. Those are the three hallmarks of God's reign: unity and peace and justice. That is what God intends for us, intended from the very beginning of creation, and hopes with all of God's heart for us in our destiny: unity and peace and justice. We don't know how and when God is going to fully realize that reign of God. We don't know what difficulties we're going to have to go through. We don't know what struggles and strife. We don't know how long it's going to take. It's been a long time, it feels like, of strife and conflict in our world. But what we can do, and I think what our scriptures call us to today, what Advent reminds us to do, we don't have to wait for that day, whenever it is. We don't have to wait for God's fully realized kingdom. We can begin with the end in mind. We can begin to live in God's reign right now. We can practice living in unity with one another, even though it's hard with all the divisions of the world today. It seems like more and more division all the time, people wanting us to choose sides, us versus them, either or, but we can choose as Christians to live in the unity of God's promise right now. We can live in peace as far as we are able with one another, finding ways to reconcile difficulties. I don't know how Thanksgiving was at your house. Sometimes Thanksgiving is wonderful and just a great warm feeling of unity in your family, but I know I was reading all kinds of guides last week for how to survive Thanksgiving in your family when there's conflict. We can begin with the people closest to us, seeking peace, seeking to make peace, seeking to understand and to listen and to find ways to forgive and to be forgiven. And finally, we can live and work as far as we are able in the justice of God, seeking the right relationship with God, seeking to live our lives, as St. Paul says in Romans, and to live in the light, to put aside the works of darkness, and to live as far as we are able with justice and righteousness, and to seek that in our communities, in our nation, and in the world. We can read these scriptures and be scared about the coming apocalypse, or I think we can read these scriptures and be inspired to live right now in God's reign of unity and peace and justice. The Christian writer C.S. Lewis once said that when we look back from the day of our death on our whole lives, we will find that we spent our whole lives either living in heaven or living in hell. It's not something in the future. It's something we participate in right now. Our invitation is to live right now in God's reign of unity and peace and justice. Amen.